This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I will talk in the big lead at 2 with the spokesperson for the Centralia School District. They said that they are going to cancel all high school sports for the next school year unless people pass a levy in August. I don't think people can afford a levy in August. But I think there's the shell game that government always plays with us. Hey, you like your Medic One service? Want to be saved if you have a heart attack? Vote for a Medic One levy. You like the libraries? Vote for a library levy. You like parks? How about a parks levy? How about a bus levy? Sound transit levy? Electric vehicle levy? It's a levy, 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 levy. Daddy loves levy levies. And my view is they are collecting more money than they ever have in history from us as taxpayers. And maybe the first thing on their budget line items should be public safety, cops, jails, courts, roads, infrastructure, bridges, schools, parks, Medic One, and then all the other nonsense that they spend money on. You know, make us vote on a levy if we want a Pakistan, China, Bolivia sister country consortium with about 4 people with 6-figure jobs. Hey, you want to keep the Pakistan, Bolivia, China consortium? Raise your taxes. No, that always gets paid first somehow. You know, you want, do you want to pay for the program for children whose parents lost their high-tech jobs and now the kids can't get into their Ivy League schools? Vote yourself a tax increase. And we'll, no. It's they create all those programs first and foremost. And they hold us hostage for the things that are important and precious and necessary. It's a shell game. They're like the con artists on the Vegas Strip. Ooh, which cup is the foam ball under? Watch your dollars go around. I know for sure it's under number 2. Nope. No foam ball under number 2. Sorry, give us more money. It's all a shell game. So, you know, to hold high school sports hostage in the worst economy of our lifetime. And, you know, I'm hearing from some people who are saying high school sports is not essential and shouldn't be funded at all. And I understand that argument, even though I was very active for a huge chunk of my life in high school sports. But I understand that argument. But it is undeniable that it is the hub of a community, school and church, like I said an hour ago. And I'm seeing government using a health crisis to take away the First Amendment right to gather in a church setting. JNC's going to let us now. Daddy yesterday said he'll let us do that again. It was really nice of him. But and then let's take away high school sports. And so we lose sense of community. It's easier to control people if instead of being bonded by faith or by schools or by whatever, if instead of being bonded, we're just a bunch of amorphous blobs floating around to be controlled by government. Makes it a lot easier to control us. Fund the important stuff first, for crying out loud. I wanted to play a couple more cuts from Jay Inslee's press conference yesterday that I did not get to yet, because the only one was the outrageous one where he was specifically asked by a Seattle Times reporter, do you stand by Susie Levine at employment security, who was in charge as hundreds of millions. And there's one other important thing that I haven't heard anybody report. Jay Inslee said hundreds of millions have been recovered by law enforcement. Because I think most people assumed when they said that the Nigerian scammers stole hundreds of millions, I think most people thought, oh, that must be 200 million. Sounds to me like it's closer to a billion. If they've recovered hundreds of millions and they have still stolen hundreds of millions, we're at least a half billion. All stolen under the nose of Susie Levine run employment security. And so Jay Inslee specifically asked, do you stand by her? And if you missed it, I just have to replay it because it was Jay Inslee at his trolley dodging best where he refused to answer the question.
Do you stand by your employment security department, Commissioner Susie Levine, in light of the hundreds of millions of dollars lost here to fraud groups in unemployment payouts?
Well, what I stand against is the moral outrage of this international conspiracy.
And yeah, a lot of you pointed out. So he stands against moral outrage? Shouldn't he stand with the moral outrage? No, Jay Inslee stands against the moral outrage that we feel towards these criminals.
That turned the virus of COVID into the virus of crime.
And I tell you what, man. He's a regular Bill Shakespeare, too. Turned the virus of COVID into the virus of crime.
And these criminals deserve our scorn and our condemnation and our righteous anger.
Oh, they have it. They have it, Jay. But then a couple of other things. He was asked about, what about the thousands and thousands and thousands of unemployed people in this state, many of whom have been trying for 2 months to get through? And they haven't been able to.
Well, what we're doing is everything humanly possible for folks who need this money. Look, the frustration that people have is real. It is deep. And I know it's driving people nuts not being able to get their unemployment compensation. I don't want to.
And I know that he's trying to be folksy. It's driving people nuts not to be able to get their unemployment compensation. No, they're crying themselves to sleep at night, Jay. They're going into their credit cards that if they can't pay in full, will have 16% interest thanks to Joe Biden and his credit card haven in Delaware that allows them to charge usurious interest rates. They're not just going a little nuts. They're sick to their stomachs. They are on the verge of mental breakdowns. They don't know how they can afford groceries. It's more than just going a little nuts.
I shouldn't quote that at all. And there's some people who have been waiting literally months to get that check. Now, some of those claims, there may be real questions about them. But one way or another, we need to get them adjudicated.
Okay, it's been months. Where's Susie Levine besides, you know, overseeing the Nigerian security breakdown? And then this was the most outrageous because we have thousands and thousands and thousands of state workers who are staying at home, don't have anything to do for their job, and they're still collecting a full paycheck because unlike the private sector that's seeing 20% unemployment, Jay Inslee still has not cut a penny from state government. And not only has he not cut a penny, but...
So what the department is doing is dramatically increasing their capacity to do that. They've hired about 500 people already in the last few weeks, with another 300 coming on in the next couple of weeks, I believe, to have more people to adjudicate these claims.
They just hired 500 people and they're going to hire 300 more? You don't have existing state workers who are underworked right now but still collecting full paychecks that you couldn't have transferred over and gotten trained so that they could have helped the most desperately poor unemployed people in our state who cannot get... I mean, this is mismanagement of unimaginable magnitude by Jay Inslee and Susie Levine. Unimaginable. So who do we blame for all of these issues, Governor?
This frustration, let's recognize why this frustration exists. It exists because we got hit by an unprecedented event that has not happened in the last century in the state of Washington, which has increased the number of claims by a factor of 10, by a factor of 10. And I think people, even though it's frustrating, hope can understand that that's going to present us all with difficulties.
Yeah, I couldn't believe what I was listening to. That was your red flag for Susie Levin at Unemployment Security. Our unemployment claims went from 6,000 in 1 week to 100,000 the next. We were running at about 5% unemployment. The only way you'd go from 6,000 to 100,000 is if you suddenly had 80% unemployment. And nobody thought it was anywhere near that, but they had no system in place. They started wiring money to out-of-country banks because the Nigerians were so much more clever than everybody in charge here in our state. And it was an incredibly frustrating press conference. I am frustrated because Jay Inslee is going to preempt the last half hour of our show for the second straight day today. And he's calling another press conference. And I think this one is about face masks. And it's on and on it goes. But this is where I get frustrated. I feel like we are learning nothing. He isn't answering any questions. There are no follow-ups. The guy at the Seattle Times had a chance to ask a follow-up because he ignored the Susie Levin question. And then Jay Inslee said, I'm sorry, what was your other question? And the guy said, oh, my other question was, instead of saying, well, you didn't answer my first question, Governor.
Dory, the president, Dory, if you want to know.
Do we? Okay, I was just texting you and Nicole. President Trump is just making some remarks at the White House, I believe, on the Minneapolis incident and what's going on with social media. Busy afternoon. Let's take you to the White House
Federal
live.
Trade Commission, FTC, to prohibit social media companies from engaging in any deceptive acts or practices affecting commerce. This authority resides in Section 5 of the Federal Trade Commission Act. I think you know it pretty well. Most of you know it very well. I would think you know it quite well, right? Additionally, I'm directing the Attorney General to work cooperatively with the states. He's going to be working very much and very closely in cooperation with the states to enforce their own laws against such deceptive business practices. The states have broad and powerful authority to regulate in this arena, and they'll be doing it also, and we encourage them to do it if they see exactly as we've been seeing. What they're doing is tantamount to monopoly, you can say. It's tantamount to taking over the airwaves. Can't let it happen. Otherwise, we're not going to have a democracy. We're not going to have anything to do with a republic. Finally, I'm directing my administration to develop policies and procedures to ensure taxpayer dollars are not going in any social media company that repress free speech. The government spends billions of dollars on giving them money. They're rich enough, so we're going to be doing none of it or very little of it. As president, I'll not allow the American people to be bullied by these giant corporations. Many people have wanted this to be done by presidents for a long time. And now we're doing it, and I'm sure they'll be doing a lawsuit. And I'm also sure that we're going to be going for legislation in addition to this. And the legislation will start immediately. And I tell you, I've been called by Democrats that want to do this. And so I think you could possibly have a bipartisan situation. But we're fed up with it, and it's unfair, and it's been very unfair, and we'll see what happens. Any questions?
Mr. President, given your concern with Twitter, have you given any consideration to deleting your account, to just walking away from this platform you've been so critical of?
Well, you know, if you weren't fake, I would not even think about it. I would do that in a heartbeat.
I'm real,
but the news is fake. If you look at what it gets printed in newspapers, if only the public could understand where, you know, they're reading a story and they think it's real, and it's not real in so many cases. And I'm not saying in every case. You have some great journalists. You have some journalists that I have great respect for. But largely, I find, at least in a political sense, there's so much fake news, it's disgraceful. I would do that in a heartbeat if I had fair. If we had a fair press in this country, I would do that in a heartbeat. There's nothing I'd rather do than get rid of my whole Twitter account. But I'm able to get to I guess, 186 million people when you add up all the different accounts and add Facebook and Instagram. It's a lot of people. And that's more than the media companies have, frankly, by a lot. And so if I get a story that's wrong, I can put a social media. I don't usually use the word Twitter. I say social media. But I put something out, and the next day or the next hour or the next minute, everybody's reading about it. So I'm able to refute fake news, and that's very important. I'd like to ask the Attorney General, please, to say a couple of words. And he's very strongly behind it, backing it very powerfully. And again, we're going to be doing this. We're also going through Congress.
Well, as you mentioned, Mr. President, one of the things that I found has the broadest bipartisan support.
Okay, and let me just sum up, because I want to go back to the White House. He may talk about the Minneapolis situation as well, but President Trump has signed an executive order saying that these social media companies that engage in censorship can't keep their liability protections. And everybody knows what happened with Facebook in the 2016 election. This was, all revealed through a congressional hearing that Facebook tried to steer millions of votes to Hillary Clinton. And they were certainly successful in doing so. They have unbelievably sophisticated means to manipulate their many users. And that's why they've all become such, some of the most valued enterprises in the history of mankind, because advertisers crave the kind of data mining that they provide, but political campaigns can survive and fail based on that exact same data mining. And, it was revealed that Facebook engaged in incredibly nefarious practices to try to influence an entire presidential election. And so the most recent thing yesterday, Twitter said it's going to fact check some of Trump's tweets. And then they did. And the president has been talking about this for a long time. So now he's signing a social media executive order that would remove liability protection. He also said it will remove billions in taxpayer funds that go to those companies. And they just are going to have to be neutral and essentially a pass-through. People will be able to post things. But when you only censor one side, when you allow the lies from one side and you censor what you define as lies on the other side, well, then you are just a political act. You should be regulated as a pack instead of as a media entity. And so all this is saying is if they're going to engage in censorship, they're going to lose a lot of protections. If they want to be neutral and allow everybody to post, and they can still have their standards and their terms of service and all of that, but if they're going to arbitrarily say we are going to edit one side of the political spectrum and we will allow anything from the other side, that creates all kinds of problems. Okay, the Attorney General, William Barr, is still speaking, then the president will. But I think this is a really hugely important story, and I think it's one all of us care about because most of us are on the social media. Let's take you back to the White House live here.
Mr. President, do you have any questions for the Attorney General?
Yes, actually, I do. Mr. Attorney General, not only have you been against Section 230 and the President has been against Section 230, the Vice President has said he's against Section 230. Do you believe that the executive order that the President is about to sign in any way repeals or amends Section 230?
No, it doesn't repeal Section 230, and I'm not against Section 230 if it was properly interpreted and properly applied, but it's been stretched, and I don't know of anyone on Capitol Hill who doesn't agree that it's been stretched beyond its original intention. I think this will help get back to the right balance.
Mr. Attorney General, can you give us more details on the legislation both you and the President referred to? What do you want to do in that legislation?
Well, we're still reviewing a number of possibilities, and it'd be premature for me to discuss.
And one of the things we may do, Bill, is just remove or totally change 230. What I think we can say is we're going to regulate it. It's a provision.
Let me jump in for one more second here, because I do have to make sure I'm providing clarity and they aren't talking about things that that you're not aware of. Section 230 is essentially, it was a law that was passed in the 90s, and it protected these startup internet companies from liability. And what it says, and it's very short, no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider. So in other words, if somebody posts something on Twitter, you can't sue Twitter because of what somebody else posted on their service. You can't sue Facebook because of somebody's Facebook post. And it gave Twitter and Facebook and others, social media platforms, incredible legal liability protection. And so they are not treated like newspapers. If something is printed in the Seattle Times that is defamatory, the Seattle Times can be sued. If I say something on Cairo Radio that is defamatory, we can be sued. But Twitter and Facebook say, well, we're just pass-through services. And so what the president's saying here is, okay, but if you're going to act as the censor, if you are going to say, we're going to censor the conservatives and we're going to allow all the liberals unfettered access, well, now they no longer deserve that legal protection. So that is what is being targeted by this president's executive action. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew exactly what they were talking about. Back to the White House we go.
So here's your man, and that's on Twitter. And the amazing thing is he's wrong, and even no matter who it is, they will admit that he's wrong, because there's tremendous controversy on mail-in voting. And I can say this, the Republican Party cannot let it happen. Go ahead.
You know, Gavin Newsom, Governor Newsom, has not sent ballots out to everybody in California. They're only going to registered voters.
How many are there?
What your tweet said was not wrong. Okay, that was not correct. It was wrong.
Okay. Oh, really? So when he sends out 28 million ballots, and they're in all the mailboxes, and kids go and they raid the mailboxes and they hand them to people that are signing the ballots down the end of the street, which is happening. They grab the ballots. You don't think that happens? There's ballot harvesting where all of us, you know, we had seven elections for Congress and they were like tied and they lost every one of them because they came and they dropped a whole pile of ballots on the table. But you don't think they rip them out of mailboxes? It's all the time. You read about it. You can read about it. Take a look. They do worse than that. In some cases, they won't sell them, like, to a Republican community, a conservative community. They don't happen to send the ballots to those communities. And there's no way of checking. No, you have to go and you have to vote. Voting is a great thing. Voting, we would be the laughing stock of the world. And if you just use common sense, you know that's going to happen. But they raid the mailboxes. They can even print ballots. They get the same paper, the same machine, nothing special. They get the same paper, the same machine. They print ballots, and Bill would have to do a great job to catch him doing it, or your state authorities would have to. But you have tremendous potential, and you have tremendous fraud and abuse, but you have tremendous potential for fraud and abuse. Go ahead.
Mr. President, you had said in one of your tweets that you would consider shutting down Twitter and social media companies. Did you actually mean you would want to shut down an American company?
Well, I think it's going to be, you know, I tell you what, I have so much, it seems, influence over Twitter in the sense of people wanting to see go Twitter because of what I have. I have a vast number, we have a number of platforms, as you know. We have millions and millions of people. I think this, if Twitter were not honorable, if you're going to have a guy like this be your judge and jury, I think you shut it down as far as I'm concerned, but I'd have to go through a legal process to do that.
How would you shut down an American?
I don't know. I'd have to ask the lawyers. I'd have to go through a legal process. If it were legal, if it were able to be legally shut down, I would do it. I think I'd be hurting it very badly if we didn't use it anymore. I mean, we have other sites we could use, I guess, or we'd have to develop other sites. But and I'm not just talking about Twitter. Look at Facebook. Look at the tribunal they set up at Facebook. This woman who you remember testifying recently in Congress, her hatred was so incredible toward the Republican Party and me that there is no way you can get a fair trial. So this is not like it's supposed to be. This is not like it's supposed to be. So we're going to see what happens. And you know what? I guess it's going to be challenged in court. What is it? But I think we'll do very well. Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. President, as to potential litigation, can you discuss the timing of that and what is the remedy that you're going to be seeking?
No, what I was referring to, there is litigation going on all the time on Section 230 and its scope, and we would look for appropriate vehicles to weigh in and file statement of interest.
So you wouldn't be filing an individual?
Not necessarily.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. President,
are you worried about the situation on the border between India and China?
India. He loves India so much he's never asked a question other than an India question, and that's okay. I just got back from India, right? I just beat COVID.
Get
back. I know. They like me in India. I think they like me in India, certainly more than the media likes me in this country. And I like Modi. I like your prime minister a lot. He's a great gentleman. Great gentleman. Yeah, they have a big conflict going with India and China. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah?
Yes, sir.
They have a big conflict going with India and China. Two countries with 1.4 billion people. Two countries with very powerful militaries. And India's not happy, and probably China's not happy. But I can tell you, I did speak to Prime Minister Modi. He's not in a good mood about what's going on with China.
Mr. President, have you spoken to...
Wait, are you finished?
No, sir. So what, yesterday you tweeted about you want to mediate between India and China on this issue.
I would do that. You know, I would do that if they... If
just
they
real quick... While they're talking about India and China, on the issue of the voter fraud, I hope people realize in Los Angeles County, they sent out 112% the number of ballots as they had registered voters in 1976. And Judicial Watch did an extensive review of all of this 3 years ago. And they found that 3.5 million more people are on U.S. election rolls than are eligible to vote. So, yes, there is widespread voter fraud or possibility of voter fraud in the United States. The greatest voter fraud that I know of happened here in King County. When King County elections, run by a guy named Dean Logan, stole the 2004 governor's race for Christine Gregoire. Dino Rossi won the first count. Dino Rossi won the recount. And then they finally found some ballots behind the refrigerator in the kitchenette at King County elections. And then Christine Gregoire wins by, you know, a few dozen. That was absolute theft. It was, you know, criminal theft of a gubernatorial election. So if anybody knows about voter fraud, it's the people of this state. I think the president just wrapped up here. He's in the Oval Office. That was a very impromptu press conference. And so you just heard it live here on Cairo Radio. The president has an executive order targeting social media companies that have chosen to be censors. Now, we're also told there is a news conference coming up on the investigation into the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. We are going to monitor that for you. Jay Inslee has a news conference live at 2:30. This is an incredibly busy news afternoon. We kind of have you covered from all angles here. So just to wrap up at the White House, so the president says executive action, if you choose to be censors and you're going to just censor the conservatives and let all the liberal comments go unchallenged, then you can no longer have the protection of that Section 230, which again says that they are just going to be pass-throughs of their consumers' views and not in any way looked at as a publisher, a traditional publisher, like a newspaper, a radio station, a TV news operation. And I think that's a very understandable challenge by the president, that if they're going to be censors, they should not get that sort of legal protection anymore because they no longer have earned it, as by definition. Okay, lots of breaking news. Glad we can bring it all to you here live and commercial free, and we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Woo! I love days like this because we have all kinds of disparate news coming from all different angles. The president has just announced his executive order against social media companies. I haven't even had time to check the text messages, but I will at the top of the hour. 98973. Love to know what you think about that. Now that Twitter has decided to be a censor of only one side of the news, the president says, well, they should lose their protection as a unbiased pass-through of their customers' content. So we got that going on. We've been keeping an eye, and we will monitor. There's a press conference coming up sometime soon on the latest in the investigation of the police killing of George Floyd. And I don't know if they're going to announce an arrest of the police officer, but I have no idea how he could possibly escape arrest. At the very beginning of the show this afternoon, I'd just gotten breaking news word that in Centralia, a wonderful part of our state, salt of the earth people, in Centralia, the school board has announced that they're going to cut all high school sports for the next school year, unless the voters pass a levy on themselves in August. They tried to pass a levy in February, and Centralia's been hit hard by the economy, even before coronavirus. And it's not a wealthy enclave. And the people, 69%, it was a massive levy. 69% of the people said no to that February levy. Well, now things have gotten even worse as Jay Inslee has destroyed the economy in our state. But I want to find out more because, you know, they've taken away the churches. Jay's going to start giving them back now. They take away the other community bonding activity, and that's our schools. And all of a sudden, you don't have people bonding anymore. And I think that that's by design in some parts of our state government. But I want to get more on this Centralia decision, because that's a huge high school sports area, too. Ed Peterson, he does community relations, public relations for the Centralia School District, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Ed, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Appreciate you taking my call.
You understand why people like me are shocked when we hear news like this. Tell me about the decision.
Well, first of all, the board meeting last night did not include a vote to cut anything. It was an update on how the district had carried out previous instructions to reduce budget expenditures. So we had a levy failure here in February. Like all school districts around the state, we're also facing the problem of declining basic education apportionment for next year. We have to proceed with planning for our budget for 2020-2021 as though we no longer have our levy funds, even though we're running a second attempt levy in August. We still have to plan as though we don't.
Okay, and the levy that failed, it failed by an overwhelming margin, 69%, and it's a very expensive levy. If you have a very modest $200,000 home, it would be a $500 a year levy. That's a massive assessment for people, isn't it?
It is. The levy amount was that we were asking for in February was $2.50 per thousand. We've revised that down to $2. Our average levy rate over the last decade here in Centralia is $2.63 per thousand. So we're a district that's very much property poor compared to districts like Seattle or Bellevue or Lake Washington or some of the other Puget Sound districts. And our levies tend to be higher in the smaller rural districts to generate revenue to help us provide the same kind of opportunities for our students.
Okay, so now you're saying you're coming back, and again, for a $200,000 home, that'd be $400 a year, this levy you're coming back with in August. That sounds a little to me like a hostage situation or a ransom situation. If you love your high school sports, even if you can't afford it, I mean, the economy is in ruins right now, Ed. And families are hurting worse than at any time in my lifetime. And here's the school saying, We're taking away something you love if you don't vote yes when you overwhelmingly said no back in February when the economy was a million times better than today. Like I said, sounds like a ransom thing.
Well, first of all, our local economy here wasn't great in February either. We have not had the same economic benefits that other areas in the state have had.
No, I know.
The second part of it is we're facing a 22% reduction in budget for next year, and it's not just from the levy. It's from apportionment issues. And even if the levy had passed in February, we were still facing $3 million of basic ed reductions outside of that. The other part of it is we are actually working with our athletic department and our coaches and families in the district to see if we can come up with a way where we can offer some kind of limited, probably reduced offerings, maybe just varsity sports at the high school level for next year while we try to sort through the budget issues. We're getting close to where we can make an announcement about that, but we're not quite there on the final details yet. So we know sports are important, and I know you're a coach, and I'm a coach too. I coach youth soccer, and it's important. It keeps a lot of kids in schools, and it's something that does create bonding in our community. But it's not threatening. Sports are 100% levy funded. We don't receive any other funding source to provide those. And in our district, it costs over $700,000 a year to provide those athletic opportunities.
Right, but in
levy funding, in every school district, but every school district didn't lose a levy, and we did. And so we do have to plan for our budget as though that levy money is lost. We can't just assume we're going to have it.
There is another reality at play here, and it's something I talked about constantly on my show 2 years ago, when teachers across the state got a massive pay increase that every single district in the state knew was unsustainable. And they all said, hey, let's give them this massive raise, and then when the financial crisis hits a year or two from now, then we'll go to the taxpayers and we'll say, look at all the things we're going to have to cut if you don't raise taxes. Isn't all of this problems that we're seeing financially in the schools an extension of a massive, unsustainable raise that was given to teachers in the last couple of years?
I can't speak to that. I can say that our athletics program isn't tied to raises that were given to teachers, so the two aren't really related. We weren't asking for a huge increase in our levy. Like I said, historically, our average levy rate here is $2.63. We were asking for $2.50. Now we're asking for $2 per thousand. Our assessments have gone up, and people are feeling that. My own home assessment went up by 46%. Last year, this year versus last year, so I feel it too. After the levy failure, we worked with our community to hear those concerns a little more clearly than we had before. We held some forums and had discussions and had that conversation that led us to that reduced second ask.
The levy
funds things that basic education programs can't fund, and it doesn't fund basic education salaries. We can't do that. It funds some salary enhancements for teachers, of course. It funds some teaching positions that are beyond basic education.
But it's also a shell game that government plays. They make us pass levies for Medic One instead of funding that first, because they make us pass parks levies because people love parks, and then they can spend other dollars on nonsense programs. And I know that happens in the school. My wife works in the public schools. I coached in the public schools for many, many years, and I get very frustrated. And I know this isn't your call, Ed. I get very frustrated on behalf of taxpayers when the things they love are routinely threatened by government, whether it be Medic One or parks or high school sports. And that's when they're told, oh, you got to dig deeper into your pockets. And man, right now, worst economy of our lifetime coming up. I just don't think there's anything but lint in those pockets that they're being asked to dig into.
No, we hear those same concerns from our community, too, and you're right. And I'll still maintain it. It's not a threat. This is the levies, and it's all over Washington. It's not just Centralia School District. Athletics are funded by local levies. There's no other mechanism for us to do that. The travel costs, the coaching costs, we don't have a pay-for-play system here. Anybody that wants to participate in sports here can participate in sports here, provided we have the funding to do it, right? Because we are an economically repressed community, and we want those kids to have that participation because, like I said, it does keep kids in school. And that's why, we're really proud of our athletic department and our coaches now, because they saw that the problem was looming, and they came at us with a solution that we think we're going to be able to work out.
Good. I really hope that happens. Yeah, I mean,
so do we.
For the school, for the community, for the kids, for everybody with passion for it. Ed, I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you for coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Ed Peterson, Human Resources, Communications for the Centralia School District. This is a big, I told you so. Yeah, I knew when really nobody else in the media was willing to call out the truth 2 years ago. The teachers were getting raises that were completely unrealistic and unsustainable. In Centralia, teachers got a 24% raise. And the strategy then and now was, well, we'll just give them whatever they want because all teachers are heroes and nobody can argue. Nobody in the media will ever say one word about the teachers when they go on strike. And, you know, even though the strikes are all illegal, they got a 24% raise. The teachers did. You can make in the Centralia School District, I'm just looking at their monthly pay schedule, you're making $90,000 a year, which in Centralia, Washington is a lot of money if you're at the top of the pay scale. You know, the superintendent, geez, I was just looking at this. The assistant superintendent can make up to $209,000 a year in Centralia. $209,000 a year. That's crazy. But the strategy all along was, let's give them everything they want. And then when the financial calamity hits, and nobody knew that we were also going to enter the worst economy of our lifetime. But the teachers are locked in now. So now what? You can go to the taxpayers and say, hey, give us money you don't have, since so many of you are unemployed. Or you can say, we'll just take away stuff they love. And if they want to keep the stuff they really love, they're going to have to raise their taxes $400 a year if you have a modest $200,000 home. If you got $500,000 home, and there aren't a lot of them in Centralia, but if you do, it's $1,000 a year. That's all ransom. But it's all an extension. Give the teachers everything, and then the taxpayers will make up for it down the road because all teachers are heroes. And we can't question it. And the big lead at 2 is now.